The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
This computer for Audio Dharma. Great. So welcome, everyone. Welcome to Happy Hour. So for today's practice, we're continuing to expand in the ever-expanding circles of equanimity, practicing with Upekkha, the fourth Brahma Vihara, and as many of you commented yesterday, a more nuanced practice, more nuanced than metta, or compassion, or sympathetic joy. And equanimity, the sense of equipoise, caring, staying connected to the being that we're practicing equanimity with, and yet with a sense of spaciousness, a bird's eye view of all the causes and conditions that have come and contributed to what is arising. So a sense of peace and ease holding whatever is happening in their life, in our life, depending on whom we're practicing with. And we've worked our way through the concentric circles. And for today's practice, we have found our way to the category of someone we have some challenge with. So practicing equanimity with someone we have some challenge with, this is an interesting practice. And we might find ourselves surprised as to what may arise. So the idea here is to establish a sense of connection first. Well, actually, first during the guided meditation, we'll spend, you know, about 10 minutes just settling in the body with the breath as we usually do. And then after we till the soil of awareness, settling the mind, calming the mind, then we open up to this being with whom we have some entanglement, and then feeling into the humanity of this person, connecting with how they too want to be happy, just like me. They're not so different. And then withholding them with equanimity, whatever is arising in their life. And then for this variation, we'll also work with equanimity for this entanglement that we have with the two of us, which is another way, and another way that equanimity practice can work with the person we have challenges with. There's so many different possibilities, but this is what we'll try and see what happens. Cultivating. Okay, so ready? Shall we try it? Yes, let's. So I'd like to invite us all to get into our meditation posture, into shift and move. Settle in this body. Landing, arriving. In this moment in time, in this body connected to the earth, feeling our feet, relaxing into our sit bones, relaxing our hands. Shoulders, neck, face, muscles of the jaw, internal muscles of the face, Letting the entire body relax. Dropping, dropping. Holding tightness. Softening, relaxing. And letting the breath be received intimately by the awareness, touched. By the awareness in the lower body, in the abdomen. As if the abdomen is an organ of perception. An organ of perception, receiving the breath, the in-breath and the out-breath. If you know this, if you notice thoughts arising, smilingly, I wonder if this thought is necessary right now. And whether it can come back later. If it's important enough, it will. And without any judgment, letting go. As if opening your hand, letting go of this helium balloon of thought, feeling lighter, coming back to the breath, organ of perception, the abdomen, receiving, sensing the breath intimately. here. Right here. Here and now. Nudging, nudging, lovingly nudging. Awareness to stay close. Here, now. Now I'd like to invite us to bring to mind while we stay connected to the body, to our breath in the body, the physicality, the groundedness of the body. Bring to mind someone we have some entanglement with relationally. Not the toughest, hardest one, but some maybe lower on the throngs of complications, entanglements, bringing this person to mind. And allowing ourselves to feel into, first and foremost, their humanity. Not condoning the harm, the challenge. But that just like us, just like me, this human being, this person wants to be happy. They don't want to suffer, just like me, just as I want to be happy. And I have hopes and dreams, aspirations. They too have aspirations. Just as I experience joy and laughter, happiness, just as I experience sadness, just as I suffer, this person too feels happy at times, feel sad at times. They've experienced sorrow and loss, pain, just like me. Their inner life is just as compelling and just as complex as mine is. Just as I have a full inner life, full world. Internally, so does this person. And their life is very dear to them, as my life is dear to me, my happiness and well-being. We are not so different in this respect, this person and I. And bringing to mind for a moment the entanglement we've had. And saying if this entanglement in this moment could be held with spaciousness, with a lot of equanimity. Instead of pointing fingers, blaming, it's their fault, they're this way, my fault, I should have done this. Just for this moment, seeing if there can be a perspective of just spaciousness. Seeing all the causes and conditions, so many of them out of our control, that have led to this entanglement. As if we had a bird's eye view and saw all the causes and conditions. So many things predating us, even. Historical, familial, cultural, our genes, our upbringing, everything that brought us to that moment. Of these two beings, me and them being entangled in this way. As if you were sitting on the proverbial top of a mountain, you could see all the causes and conditions, past, present, and all the people, all the causes and conditions, and holding this entanglement within the context, within a bigger context of both of your journeys in life. And offering the equanimity phrases. I'll offer a few, see which one works for you. Whether I understand it or not, things are unfolding according to a lawful nature. Staying connected with your body, with your breath. With each offering of this phrase, as if you're breathing this phrase, phrase of equanimity. May we accept things as they are. May you accept things as they are. Or may you be undisturbed by the comings and goings of things. May we hold this entanglement with spaciousness, equipoise, equanimity. or the traditional equanimity phrase. All beings are owners. All beings are owners of their actions, heirs to their actions. Their happiness and unhappiness depends on their actions, not my wishes for them. All beings have their own journey. Whether you understand it or not. And for the last couple of minutes of this practice period, allowing whatever arose or didn't arise, whatever arose and passed during this practice period, this 30-minute sit, let there be equanimity, equipoise, okayness with whatever happened or didn't happen. Not resisting, not pushing away, not attaching, clinging to, having a spaciousness, freedom of heart. It was like this. It was like this. May I accept things just as they were, as they are. Releasing, letting go. Sense of freedom in the heart, the conditions in this moment with respect to this practice right here, right now. May all beings everywhere have peace. May all beings everywhere have freedom of non-clinging. Spaciousness in their heart. May all beings be happy, including ourselves. Thanks, everyone. Thank you for your practice. So, I'm changing the settings. So, if you like to chat with your reflections, questions, what you noticed, you can either send them to everyone, in which case I'll read out your name, or you can just send them to me. In which case I won't say your name, but read the question, the reflection. You can also raise your hand to share your reflections. What came up for you? What did you notice? What was this like for you? This practice of equanimity in this way, shape or form, the person we have some entanglement with. Something that I notice sometimes with the practice of equanimity, sometimes there can be a lot of quiet and silence. There's too much, like no desire to even talk because the heart can feel settled and peaceful and kind of equanimity. Like, I don't have to say that. I've noticed that in myself. Have to say that. It's interesting. Equanimity kind of gets into the space of our thoughts, of course. And Marie Christine says, the person I have a major entanglement kept popping up, so it was really hard for me. Yeah, it can be. Even though, of course, the invitation is to start where it's easier and not a major entanglement, but with a minor one. But of course, the major one, it can be. And I do wonder actually, Marie Christine, as challenging as it was, whether actually that is as your, that could be the edge of your practice. Can I have equanimity? Can I hold this with peace? Can I have a sense? Can I hold this comings and goings of this entanglement with just spaciousness? Things are like this right now. It is what it is. It is. Oh, yeah. Yeah, thanks for adding that. It felt so weepy. Do you want to say, is it okay? You don't have to. But if you want to say more about the challenge, you're welcome to. And if not, it's okay too. But yeah, it can be challenging. And maybe also having equanimity. Oh, yeah, I see you unmuted yourself. So please.
Yeah, it was difficult because I was trying to just focus on the person with a very, very small entanglement. But the other one came popping up. And unfortunately, as the other one kept popping up, the pain and the hurt kept coming up. And it was a real struggle. And it made me feel, at one point I thought, I'm going to switch everything off and start crying. And I thought, no, keep with the practice. So it's brought up a lot of hurt for me.
Yeah, a lot of hurt. And I missed one word you said. Emotional hurt from the second with the major entanglement.
Exactly. And I was trying to focus on the one that was really easy, but it triggered the other one. And I wasn't able to contain it.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you for sharing that. Yeah. Oof. Yeah. Yeah. And in that case, it becomes a practice of compassion for yourself, self-compassion. Oh, sweetie, this is hard right now. Mm-hmm. This is hard.
Good idea. I should have done that.
Yeah. This is hard right now. And it's okay. It's never too late, Marie-Christine. So I'm so glad you're bringing this up, both for yourself and for others. Because whenever we're hurting, challenge comes up, please feel free to turn the practice to taking care of your own heart with kindness and compassion. And then if there is enough stability, then you can turn back to whatever the guidance is, or not. Stay with self-compassion for the entire practice. This is what's called for. Great. Let it be. That's what's needed, because it sounds like there's a lot of hurt in this entanglement. So maybe that's what's called for, to practice with self-compassion right now.
Thank you for your pearls of wisdom.
Ah, thank you, Mara Christine, for your pearls of wisdom, for being here and practicing and sharing. Yeah, thank you.
Nikki, do we have time for one more share?
We do, please.
Oh, hi, my name is Dorothy, and this is the first time I've shared at group level, but I wanted to say thank you so much for the reminder that the person that comes to our mind, that their actions are really what's the cause and effect of how their life spans out, and it's not our wishes for them. Because I have a very, very dear friend that I have a wonderful relationship, but there are some entanglements and there's some wishes I have for him. Just even a basic thing like he's able to be in the age range to get the shot right now, but he chooses not to, and much bigger and deeper things that I wish for him, but that my wishes really have no effect on his life because it's his own choices. So I want to just thank you so much for the reminder of that.
Yeah, thank you so much, Dorothy, for bringing this up and sharing in community and really fleshing out how important this reminder, this equanimity phrase, really this teaching on equanimity, that is the traditional phrase that I offered. How important that is, that yes, people's happiness and their unhappiness is dependent on their actions, on that what they choose. Their actions, their karma, that's the same word really. It's their actions in the world. And no matter how much we wish for them to be well, it's part of the bigger cause and condition. So we can still care for them. We can still hold them with care and dearness and not take it on as our responsibility. that yes, we must fix it. It allows us to stay in relationship with them with care, without toppling into it letting them have the space they need on their journey. So thank you so much, Dorothy.
Thank you.
Yeah, great. We do have time for maybe one more reflection if anyone has any before we go into group practice. Nicholas, please.
There we go. Yeah, there is a sense of heaviness, maybe kind of some guilt, or I should have done something differently, and considering the small entanglement. And it was just interesting that the impulse is to try to lighten the load. But with equanimity, there's a sense of just having a more solid foundation that can carry the load underneath it instead.
Yeah, nice, beautiful, well said. Equanimity really providing this stability where this load can be carried without it kind of needing to be lightened up or analyzed. It's like, it can be carried. It can be just as it was in this moment and be held. Beautiful. Thank you, Nicholas. Really appreciate your reflection. Yeah. Great. So, dear ones, let's turn our hearts to each other and take this practice into small containers of small sangha, small group practice. So the invitation is for the first 30 seconds to share metta, just kindness for the other people in the group in silence. May you be well, fellow human being, just like me. Have entanglements and you suffer, we all do, and feeling their metta for you. And then share as little or as much as you wish about your practice and support each other and what you, again, respectfully. And what I mean by support is not to give each other advice. That's not what I mean at all. You support each other by sharing from your own first person experience. When you share, this is what happened for me, that is the way you show up and you support each other. And when you just listen without judgment, without trying to fix the other person or make it better for them, but you just listen, you offer your ear with equanimity and care, then you're supporting each other. So supporting each other in just showing up, showing with metta, showing with equanimity for each other, which is profound practice, really profound practice, not trying to get in there, meddle and fix, just that is the practice of equanimity. So I'm inviting you to practice equanimity for each other relationally with care and just listening, just listening, just listening, not trying to fix it, not turning away, not jumping into, just listening with care. And as you'll see, this is profound practice. It might push your edge. You may want to offer something if the person says they were hurt, but stay on the edge and see if you can just hold it with equanimity. And then you can take it to your friends and relatives and just offer care without entanglement, getting entangled into what's happening for them. So let us practice in this profound way together. And I hope you don't hop off. And here we go. I'll create the rooms. And they are open now. Here we go. So, how was that? What did you notice? Love to hear from you, your reflections, this way of practicing holding space with equanimity. And experiencing with equanimity and care, space being held for you. Emily says, it's always amazing to me how much connection can happen in 5 minutes. Yeah. Thanks, Emily. Yeah. I see nods and hearts. Any of you are welcome to unmute yourself. Bill says, talking to others seems to be its own type of therapy for me. Yeah, there's nothing like practicing in Sangha. It's so powerful, so powerful, so powerful. That's why in Buddhism, it's one of the three jewels. The third jewel is Sangha, is community. So profound, so important. Anybody else wants to share today? Nice to hear somebody else's voice. Ah, Bill also says, very grateful for this community. Maybe someone who usually doesn't speak so much or hasn't shared in a long time would love to hear your voice. How did you find it? How was it? Anything? Or what did you find about your practice? Be lovely to have you share of yourself, if you would. Susan says, mammals need to connect. I had an embodied moment where I realized any glimpse of equanimity precedes my having let go of something. Ah, nice. Thank you, Susan. Thank you for sharing that insight. Beautiful. Yeah. Glimpse of equanimity precedes my having let go of something. And I also wonder whether it can happen the other way around too, whether equanimity can precede letting go of something. So I'll bring that up as an inquiry. Happening both ways, yeah. So dear ones, we have come to the end of the hour of practice together. Always grateful. So grateful for you showing up, for practicing for your own sake, for the sake of all the beings whose lives yours touches. May all beings be happy. May all beings be free, including ourselves. And thank you again so much for being here and practicing. Thank you. May you all be well in every way. So...